Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this. Gimme. Money, money, money. That's all those people talk about down there. Did you ever hear that? This is stewardship season. Aren't you glad that at the First Presbyterian Church in Gadsden, we have two main seasons of stewardship? One is in November, when we put together our New Year's budget. The other stewardship season is in the spring, during our World Missions Conference, as we seek to elicit more and more benevolent support for the evangelization of the world. Today is one of those Sundays in stewardship season. It is, in fact, ludicrous to even talk about a stewardship season. Is there ever a season or a Sunday which is not stewardship season? I mean, there is a stewardship of nature. There is a stewardship of health. There is a stewardship of our church facility. There is a stewardship of food. There is a stewardship of your family. And as we've been hearing, of talent and of time. But this morning, we want to take careful aim at just one aspect of stewardship, and that is the stewardship of money. Next Lord's Day is what we call Pledge Sunday or Commitment Sunday. You are asked to bring your pledge card with you next Sunday and be prepared to turn in a pledge commitment to the support of God's work through this church for 1982. This morning, I want to reflect with you on what is the teaching of the Bible about giving, and then secondly, ask the question, why does the Bible teach that? And then thirdly, I want to answer some questions which are asked most often by people regarding giving. Firstly, what does the Bible teach about giving? The Bible teaches that the standard for giving is the tithe. Tithe comes from a Hebrew word, asar, which means I tenth it, or I tithe it, from the Hebrew noun ma'asar, which means to tenth, or tenth. It first occurs way back in the book of Genesis, which is appropriate enough, in Genesis 14, in verse 18, after Abraham had come back from defeating the kings who had taken his nephew Lot, he met a priest named Melchizedek. And we find these words in Genesis 14. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Now he was a priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And then he, that is Abraham, gave him a tenth of all. We first meet it there, but then we find it throughout the entire Old Testament, particularly as it is opened up once again in Leviticus chapter 27 in verse 30 and 32. Thus all the tithe of the land, of the seed of the land, or the fruit of the tree is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. And for every tenth part of herd or flock, whatever passes under the rod, the tenth one shall be holy to the Lord. Now we find the teaching that one-tenth or the tithe is the biblical teaching throughout the entire Old Testament. It occurs in Numbers, it occurs in 2 Chronicles, it occurs in Nehemiah, it occurs in Amos, it occurs in Malachi. In other words, God expects us to give, according to the Old Testament, one-tenth of our income. Now we might draw some immediate applications from this. And one such application is that we recognize that everything belongs to God. But secondly, you should not hold the best for yourself and then give the worst to God. 1 Samuel 2 talks about two sons who were priests, who were themselves son of a priest named Eli. The men's names were Hophni and Phinehas. And these two priests would meet people who were bringing their sacrifices to God's house. The normal thing to do would be to offer a sacrifice, and as it burned or as it was boiled, that the priest would reach in a meat hook and grab some of it, and whatever they grabbed, that would be their portion. But Hophni and Phinehas would meet the people at the door, and they would say to those who were offering sacrifices, "Give me the best part," and then offer what is left to God. Needless to say, both of these men were struck dead by God in the fullness of time. But my point is, like Abraham, who offered up not his adopted son, he offered up that one who was his own flesh. He offered the very best he had to God and not second best. And here the Bible teaches that we must offer to God not that which is the worst, but that which is best. Somehow we get the idea that the church can have the leftovers, the old chair, or the old couch, or the old record player. Why don't we give to God the new one, and we keep the old one? Offering to God that which is best, not that which is second best. But also this teaches that, by way of application, and that's what I'm doing, that giving ought to be methodical. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, Paul told the Corinthian Christians, "Let everybody put something aside on the first day of the week." That's exactly what we do. And when we ask for pledges, we are asking that you put something aside the first day of the week. Now someone might say, "My giving is to God, and it's something that is so personal that I don't believe in pledging." Now I would say that that is a very noble gesture, but it is neither biblical nor is it practical. In our former denomination, the Presbyterian Church in the United States, in 1 year, 75% of its budgeted benevolences came in the very last quarter of its year. Now, how can one ever expect to have a budget and to support God's workers? There is Randy Smith, there is Mary Jane Wilburn, there are the Sharps and the Sea Island people. They are expecting our support, and unless we give a specific amount, this is what you may expect from us on a regular basis, there can be no reasonable budget or commitment made to them. I said that the Old Testament teaches that tithing is the practice But also the New Testament confirms that. Remember, we read back in Matthew 23:23 for our scripture text, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin." That meant they tithe everything. Mint, dill, and cumin were seasonings. They even tithe those. "And have neglected the weightier provision of the law." And look at the last part. It says, "But these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others." In other words, Jesus was placing his stamp of approval on the teaching of the Old Testament, the practice of the Pharisees, in that, yes, you should be tithing, but in your effort to tithe, to give God a tenth, don't leave that which is most important, and that is the weightier matters. It is sheer hypocrisy to say that you give to God your tenth, your offerings, and then live like you want to. Jesus said the one is more important than the other. The New Testament confirms that the minimum standard for giving is the tithe, but, and this is the most important thing that I have to say to you this morning, the New Testament, just like the Old Testament, teaches that the tithe is just the minimum and not the maximum. The New Testament teaches that if you are content with just giving the tenth, you miss the intent of the teaching of Jesus Christ. We are so used to thinking in terms of giving the tenth that when we have finally reached the point where we can say, "Praise God, I give my tithe," and I do thank God for so many in this congregation who year after year after year have given their tenth, for you have fulfilled that which was at least the minimum that you could do, and you have carried the load of so many others. But I want to say this to you. That is just the minimum, and is not in fulfillment of the New Testament teaching of giving. Do you want to know the New Testament standard, or what is indicative, what is modeled by the New Testament? Then look at Acts chapter 2, where it says that the Christians had everything in common together. In fact, tithing occurs 6 times in the New Testament. It occurs 3 times in the Gospels. And each time, Jesus is making a scathing condemnation of the Pharisees for their tithing and not doing, fulfilling the rest of the law. And it also occurs in the book of Hebrews in a historical context referring to the practice in the Old Testament. What I am saying is this, that the New Testament places its stamp of approval on, yes, this is the minimum practice of giving in the Old Testament, but brothers and sisters, there's a greater demand upon you and me in the New Testament to give all that we have to God. The New Testament principle is one which is deeper, it is richer, it is more profound. The point is this: if we can say that we have given to God and we have done our share, then we do not quite understand the New Testament teaching of what it means to give. God gave. He gave everything for you. I want to suggest a practical solution. And I'm speaking to old Christians, men and women who have been tithing for years. I want to challenge you to do something. I want you to challenge you in what is called the graded tithe, to continue to tithe. But I'm going to ask you if you would go one step further and say that any raise in pay that you get, young men who still have earning power, I'm not talking to people whose income is limited, but young men whose earning power is still before them, that beyond the tithe that you were doing last year, any raise that you get and any extra income that you get, that you would give 11% or 12% or 15% of just that new amount of money to God, and that you increase it a percentage point or so each year until finally you have an acceptable income. Your style of living is not going to be modified that much, but you're going to be giving to God that much more. I challenge you to do that. And I challenge those of you, elders, those of you who are deacons, those of you who are lay folk, that if you have not yet accepted God at His word and started tithing, that you start doing so next Sunday. Why does the Bible teach this as a minimum standard? The Bible teaches this. I just looked at my watch. I've got 12:01. Good night. Did you talk a long time? Why does the Bible teach this? I'll keep you 5 more minutes, okay, to make up for Wally's time. I'm just kidding, Wally. The Bible teaches the minimum standard in order to instruct us that all of our possessions really belong to God, that it's all His, and that we are to give our first to God and not the last. It is so also in order that we ourselves would be blessed. In the passage we read in Malachi, God presents a challenge, and He says this. He says, bring in the tithe to the storehouse. To the storehouse, and see if I will not pour you out a blessing. We've got to support God's work and God's workers. There was a pamphlet that was published not too many years ago called Our Global Village. And it said this about Americans and our opportunity to evangelize the world. It said if the world was pictured as a village of 1,000 people, listen, a village of 1,000 people, 60 of the 1,000 would be Americans. Those 60 people would have 12 times as much electrical power, 22 times as much coal, 50 times as much steel, 50 times as much general equipment, and the 60 receive one half of the total income of the 1,000 and have twice the life expectancy of all the rest of the 940 people in the world. God has prospered you and given to you so that you can be a part of building God's kingdom in this world. Questions that I hear most often is tithing for Christians? Yes, but that is the minimum and not the maximum. John Wesley, the great Methodist preacher, started off tithing, giving 10% to God. And as his salary increased, he began to live in such a way until finally he was giving God 90% and he was living on the 10%. I know of men who have been great tithers. There were men like John D. Rockefeller and Colgate of the toothpaste firm. But even preachers sometimes have to be challenged to give to God. There was one Canadian preacher, and with this we'll close, named Kuykendall, who confessed to his audience that of the $125 a month that he was making, this was year before last, no, I'm kidding, the $125 a month he was making, that he couldn't make it, make a tithe. And so there was a wealthy man in his congregation, and the wealthy man told the preacher, he said, "Preacher, whenever you get your salary, you give to God $12.50, and if you ever have any difficulty, then you write me and I'll make it good." And so the preacher accepted that challenge, and he began to give a tenth of his income to God. And he was able at the end of the year to write to this wealthy man, and he said, "I never had to worry about anything. In fact, everything came in. Things went real smoothly." And then he said this to his benefactor, quote, "My heavenly Father had made the same promise, and I had not believed him." I want to ask you something, Christian. Do you believe God? Do you believe God? Then I want to challenge you to bring in the tithe into his storehouse and to see if he will not pour you out a blessing. Let us pray.